a lot. You don't probably know me, but I'm the son-in-law of Penny and Emil Johnson. And yesterday, my wife and I, their daughter, Megan, we celebrated our 28th anniversary. And so I hit the jackpot with my wife. I hit the jackpot with my in-laws. They're really good people. And so we've been coming here for about, 12 years you guys have lived here, right? And so I've preached here once, led a conference. So this place is familiar to me. I may not be familiar to you, but so I'm a college professor and a United Methodist pastor, and I enjoy being here. We play golf in Pinehurst, and we have a blast. It's been way too humid. Is there a way to turn that down? Is there? Because I'm like, whoa, oppressive. So what I want to share to you with you today is how God spoke to me through a guitar. Now, we have this great word, epiphany, which means that we had some awareness, some new insight that the Spirit gave us. And God speaks in so many different ways. He spoke through a donkey once, right, to Balaam. He speaks in still small voices. So I thought, why can't God speak through a guitar? And I think God has a great sense of humor. So God chose to actually speak to me and give me actually four epiphanies from this one guitar. And you may be thinking, how is this possible? Well, let me explain. Here's the story. So about 10 years ago, I was leading a group in our church. It was a discipleship group. And each week I would give the members of the class some kind of exercise, a spiritual exercise that would help them grow in their faith and their character. And so one of the exercises that we did was to give something away of value to someone else. But not some junk, not something you didn't need, something you might give to Salvation Army, but something of value to you that you would give to someone that would be of value to them. That was the assignment. And so all the people in this class knew ahead of time the practices. I told them, here's what we're going to be doing. This week we'll do this. And so when we got to the week of doing this particular exercise, a man in the class came up to me afterwards and said, you know, I know the practice this week is to give something away of value, and I've heard you say that you play guitar. I said, well, I play guitar. I don't play well. I play for myself, but yeah, I do play guitar. He says, great. Well, I've been praying about this, and what kind of guitar do you have? I said, what do you mean kind of? You know, the make and model. And I said, I have the garage sale make and model of guitar. That's the one I have. I don't know what it is. It was $25 at a garage sale. And he said, well, I thought that might be the case. So I want to give you one of my guitars. And I said, oh, that's great. So he said, well, next Sunday, come to my house, have lunch with my wife and I, and I'll give you the guitar. So that next Sunday, I go to his house. Now, let me just, he lets me tell this story, but he's a very humble guy. So I'll not call him by his real name. I'll call him by I give people nicknames. And I nicknamed him Smiley because he is always smiling every time I saw him. So Smiley invites me to his house, and I have lunch with he and his wife. But as I'm pulling up into the home, I realize Smiley and his wife are people of means. I mean, I'm in a neighborhood I've never been in my city, and this beautiful, huge home. And what's really cool is that he never put on airs. I would never have guessed he was a really wealthy person. Anyway, so I go in, and we have lunch. It's lovely. And he says, so I want to give you the guitar. I said, that's great. So we go down into the lower floor of this huge mansion, and we go to a room, and you'll have to just picture this in your mind. It's a glass room, and inside the room, a climate-controlled room, are 17 guitars hanging on the wall like pieces of art. And we walk in, and I'm thinking, Lord, may he not give me one of these guitars. I am not worthy. And because he loves guitars, knows so much about them, he proceeded to tell me about every single one of them. The make, the model, the kind of wood it was made from, all kinds of stuff. It was very interesting. It was like being in an art museum. So we're going through, and he gets to the end, and he says, but the guitar I want to give you is not one of these. Huge sigh of relief. He said, here's the guitar I want to give you. And so he walks to this cabinet. He pulls out this drawer, lifts out a guitar case, puts it on top, opens it up, and he says, this is the guitar I want to give you. And I looked at it, and I said, "Wow, that is beautiful." I said, "What kind of guitar is it?" He said, "Well, it's interesting. It's a limited edition Martin guitar, and it was actually commissioned by Eric Clapton, who asked them to make 300 of these guitars at his specifications. And it's a lovely guitar. Would you like to take it out?" I take it out. And he said, "Go ahead and play it, you know." And so I'm like, C chord, you know, G chord. Sounds really good. And I said, "Are you sure you want me to have the..." "Yeah, yeah." Prayed about it. "Really feel like I want you to have this guitar." I said, "Okay. This is really great, and I don't even know what to say, but thank you." And he goes, "Oh, no, sit down." I said, "Okay." I sit down, and he knows I always have a notepad and briefcase and whatnot. He says, "Yeah, get out your notepad." I said, "Okay." He goes, "Let me tell you how to take care of the guitar." I said, "Okay. You mean I got to write it?" "Yeah, write it down." He proceeds to give me a dozen things that I have to do to take care of this guitar. Where the temperature at which it should be stored, the kind of cleaner I should use, the kind of strings I should put in. I mean, on and on. Never play with your watch on. You're going to scratch it, right? Little things that, you know, a guy who isn't a pro at this wouldn't know. So I get them all, I got them all down. He has me, "Let's go back over them." We go back over them. And so he says, "Great, I hope you enjoy the guitar." I said, "Thank you." So I'm getting ready to go, and all of a sudden I have this really inappropriate question pop into my head. Some of you may be asking it right now. But I said, "Do I need to get insurance for this?" And he said, "Yeah, that'd be a good idea." And my heart sank, and I thought, question number two that's inappropriate. "Can I ask how much this guitar is worth?" He said, "Well, yeah, right now this guitar is worth about $9,000. And I just about fell in. I said, "Again, are you sure you want me to have this guitar?" And he said, "Yeah, I really do. I really want you to have this guitar." I said, "Okay." So we walk out. He and his wife walk me out to my car. I've got the guitar. I'm putting the guitar in the back of my car when it occurs to me that the guitar is worth more than the car. So we shake hands and hug it out, and I'm driving home, and I'm driving the minimum speed very carefully. You guys go by me, it's okay. I've got Eric Clapton back here. So I get home, and I'm excited to tell my wife, Megan, about this. So I come, and I go, "Megan, you're not going to believe this story. I got this guitar." I tell the story, and my wife's only first and only reaction was, "Well, you better take care of it." To which I had a response, but I'd been married long enough to know that you don't always say the first thing in marriage, right? My thought was, "Duh," but "duh" had never really worked for me in marriage. So I didn't say "duh," but then a boom, epiphany number one. Why would I say "duh"? Why would I, without hesitation, say, "Of course I'm going to take care of it"? Because it's valuable. Because it's this incredible instrument that was intricately designed, right? And the epiphany was, isn't that true of you, Jim? Aren't you fearfully and wonderfully made? Aren't you precious in God's sight? Aren't you valuable? Wouldn't you naturally take care of that which is valuable and sacred to you? One of my favorite lines in all of the Christmas songs is in "O Holy Night." And speaking of the incarnation, the line is, "And he appeared, and the soul felt its worth." And he appeared, Jesus appeared, and the soul felt its worth. When we look in the manger, we should be able to say, "I'm valuable. I'm sacred." And then that epiphany has a part two to it, because so is everyone else. It's not just me, but every person that we meet, every person in this room is of sacred value and worth. And we live in a culture of rejection, a shaming culture. We have to recover our true identity as people who are of sacred worth. That's who we are. We're valuable in the sight of God. As C.S. Lewis said, you've never met a mere mortal. Every person in this room is destined for glory. Epiphany number one. Epiphany number two happened in a strange place. So I was on a Christian television show. I was being interviewed. I had written a book called Hidden in Christ, shameless plug. And so I'm on this television show, and the interviewer, he was great. Actually, unlike a lot of radio and TV shows I've done, he actually had read the book, which was great, because mostly they don't. Anyway, so he'd read the book, and we're having this great discussion, and in the book, I tell the story of the guitar. Not all the epiphanies, but I tell the story of the guitar. And the interviewer says to me, you know, I love that story about that Martin guitar. And he said, you know what's really cool to me is that what makes that guitar as special as it is that it has Eric Clapton's signature on the inside, which it does. And boom, epiphany number two. We have the signature of Christ on our hearts. I mean, Eric Clapton is pretty cool, right? But he's just a dude. He's just a guy. But the King of Kings and Lord of Lords has stepped into our hearts. We who are Christ followers. That's why in Colossians 3, what we read, since then you've been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. The Christ in you, I can't visibly see. I mean, you can't rip open your shirt and say, see my Jesus tattoo. But you have Christ written into your heart. And that's a part of what makes you who you are, valuable and sacred. We anchor our lives on that hidden life that is within us. Epiphany number two. Epiphany number three came several months later after I'd gotten the guitar. I have a friend who's, he plays in a bluegrass band. He's a great musician, great guitar player, great banjo player. And I knew he would want to hear about this Martin guitar. So I told him about it. He said, I got to come see it. And I said, absolutely. And so a couple months later, he comes over. He takes out the guitar and kind of like smiley, he knows all about it. He goes, oh, I know about this guitar. He tells me why Eric Clapton had it commissioned. He's telling me all these things. I'm saying, yeah, I heard all that. He says, do you mind if I play it? I said, no, it'd be great. So he takes the guitar out and he starts playing it. I mean, he's playing the guitar, right? He's making sounds out of the guitar that I could never produce as a not very good musician. But here he was, he's just playing for like 10 minutes. He's up and down. He's playing different genres of music. And I'm just going, the guitar can do that? Epiphany number three. When Jesus is the maestro of your life, he can produce beautiful music through you. See, our every day we're faced with, am I going to run my life or am I going to let him? Am I going to live as an apprentice or disciple of Jesus and he is my Lord, he is my teacher, or am I going to run the show? And for me, when I take matters into my own hands, Paul calls that living in the flesh, when I do that, it doesn't make very good music. But at every turn, when I say, Jesus, if you're Carrie Underwood, Jesus, take the wheel. If you're this guitar, Jesus, play through me. When I do that, he does amazing things. He produces beautiful things. That's true of every person in this room. You have no idea what God wants to do in your life and would do if you let him. But that's the challenge, right? That was epiphany number three. Epiphany number four. Several years after this, now I'd written this book, Hidden in Christ. I told the story. Smiley had given me permission to use that. You have to do that if you publish and you use somebody's name. And so I knew he knew all about that, and that was fine. But he said, let's go to lunch. Let's catch up. So we go to lunch, and over lunch he says, you know, I read this story in the book, and I appreciated, you know, what God has taught you with this. But there's one thing, just one thing, I want you to know that you don't know. And I could tell you don't know it because of how you wrote about it in that chapter. I said, hit me, what is it that I didn't get? He said, it seems to me that you probably thought I just gave you a guitar. That you saw the 17 guitars hang on the wall and you thought, well, he just gave me, you know, a superfluous guitar he didn't necessarily need, you know? And I said, well, yeah, maybe. I did think that. I was kind of glad I didn't get one of those. He goes, I want to tell you this, Jim. I gave you my best guitar. The best guitar I had. When I was praying about it, The Spirit said, give your very best. Epiphany number four. God took the people of Israel, right? He formed a people, this covenant people. He invested in them. He gave them the law. He gave them the prophets, this whole history. But finally, God said, I'm giving my very best. The Trinity decides to become human, the incarnation. And not just for the manger, but for the cross. That God said, I'm going to stretch out my arms on that cross and show the world how much I love them. I'm not just going to give them something, I'm going to give them my very best. And I just melted when Smiley told me that. He was right. I did not know. I did not know that he had given me his very best. So, what are the four epiphanies? There will be an exam. I'm a college professor. Are you ready for it? What are the four? We're of sacred worth. A part of the value of who we are as Christ followers is that Christ is in us. Our life is hidden with Christ in God. When we let Jesus be the maestro of our lives, beautiful music comes. And never forget that God chose to give us his very best so that we might respond to that grace. Let's pray. Gracious God, we give thanks that you speak to us in myriad ways. I pray that these words today may be used by the Holy Spirit to give inspiration and encouragement to the hearers in this room. Bless this time of worship. This we ask in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.